Joining me live over the phone this morning is Wyoming's Governor Mark Gordon. Governor, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Duke. I hope it's as beautiful over there as it is here today.
It's actually very sunny and not snowing. So, you know what? After the weekend we had, I think we'll take it, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly the way it is here. We had about 14 inches here in Cheyenne.
Whew. Wow. Well, we appreciate you taking some time with us this morning. And, you know, Governor, let's start by just jumping right into the financial status of the state of Wyoming in the future. And I know that you released some statements yesterday, but a financial report showing the general fund shortfall at $451.1 million, school funding shortfall at $300 million. Just talk to us about that, Governor, and why the shortfall and what the plan is to keep a balanced budget for the state of Wyoming.
Well, thanks, Duke. And you know, by the Constitution, which is the document I live by, the executive branch has to present a balanced budget. We can't raise taxes. We can't go for revenue enhancements. We are the ones that are required to make sure that we balance the budget. And, for the last several years, have been talking about how the state was facing some potential diminishment in our normal revenue flows. Coal was under a lot of pressure, oil and gas. Of course, we all know that. We know what's happened in Kemmerer. And one of the big challenges, it seemed to me, was just getting the state ready to address that future. And then along in March, right after the session ended, came COVID. The world stopped. And the economy dropped out of the bottom. And so from time to time, what we call the consensus revenue estimating group, the CREG, comes up with a forecast, and that forecast kind of guides what we believe our revenues are going to be going forward. So we were operating up until March with a January CREG that sort of indicated a general decline, but not a huge one. Along came March and COVID, April, and in May, I had asked the Consensus Revenue Estimating Group to come in an emergency session to take a look at what was happening. Just to give you some numbers, 27 rigs running in Wyoming and on March 12th, and two rigs running in April. So that shows you how rapidly all of that declined. May, that Consensus Revenue Estimating Group was probably the worst we could ever imagine. It indicated up to a $1.6 billion shortfall. We were looking at around 800, just on the general fund side, around $800 million that we'd have to make up. We immediately implemented measures, we being the executive branch. I issued an order, said no more hiring, no more new contracts, and start thinking about the first of probably three 10% cuts that we're going to have to do. Some of that, I know in your valley, I know the rest stop was one of those. We chose rest stops because where they were close to towns, we thought that there was a chance that it would drive business into town, and we were trying to do anything we could to get the first immediate changes underway. And rest drops were some of those. The actions we took then, yesterday, the Joint Appropriations Committee said, saved us around $400 million out of that $800. We've also seen that, some of the things we expected, weren't as bad as what we thought. Long horizontal, wells, still continued to pump largely because that was a problem for their integrity if they didn't. And so our revenues actually were slightly better than what we expected in May. So you take both of those combinations and you have the results of yesterday's consensus revenue estimating, which still indicates $451 million shortfall. I'm presenting additional cuts to the Joint Appropriations Committee. Each of those agencies is going to have to look at it. And those cuts, Duke, are devastating. They really are. And I know people think that, there's cynics out there that are going to say, well, you're just throwing up the stuff that is, you know, going to get people up in arms. The fact of the matter is there just aren't any easy places to make these cuts. We're talking about families. We're talking about services. We're talking about the money that goes into communities. That's what we're presented with now. And so we'll continue to work on that through the Joint Appropriations Committee. And one of the biggest concerns, and I don't need to keep droning on about this, but one of the biggest concerns is that our schools are funded automatically. So if we have a revenue shortfall, our famous legislative stabilization reserve account, our rainy day account, that is tapped to fund schools at their present level. So is the Hathaway. So if the Hathaway doesn't return as much money as what it's being asked to spend, it's backstopped by the rainy day account. And then virtually all the programs in the state, if they can't fund things, they're either backstopped by the general fund or backstopped in a loan formulation by the rainy day account. So when we talk about the one, and it's about 1.4 to 1.5 billion now that's in the rainy day account, when we talk about that, we should realize that a very big proportion of that is already committed. So the state has some serious financial challenges.
Speaking with Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon this morning, Governor, just to clarify on a couple things you said, you mentioned the first round of cuts saved the state about $400 million. The report released yesterday showed a shortfall of $451. So does that $400 in savings cut into that $451, or is there still another $451 of cuts that need to be made in the general fund?
No, Duke, thank you for that. The $400 million that we've saved the state is before we still have that shortfall of $451 million. So we had $800 million that we had to make up. And, you know, when we talk about a little bit of recovery in the Craig, let me put that in perspective. A year ago, 37 rigs running both oil and gas, 37 rigs running in the state. We are now at a grand total of 4 and maybe one more coming online. Now, that's much better than July when we had no rigs running in the state, but 30 to 4, that's a big jump.
So do you see that coming back to 30? I mean, is that going to rebound and recover, or is this going to be a number that we're going to be sitting at for a long time with rigs just not drilling?
Well, I think a lot of it's going to rely enormously on the price of gas and the price of oil. We know that coal is under a tremendous amount of pressure right now. And there is a little bit of hope that price may stabilize. It's almost been in freefall. That's why you've seen our coal companies, you know, like Kemmerer Coal and others that are really having some difficult times. That should stabilize, we believe. That's still a diminished revenue for the state. Oil, it's anybody's guess. It depends on if we can start traveling again, if people start feeling that they become the country ready to work. And natural gas depends a little bit on how much is in storage and how cold it gets this winter. But natural gas may rebound a little bit. But either way, under all those circumstances, Wyoming still has got some serious trimming to do.
Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon joining us this morning. Let's talk more on the education side, Governor. You mentioned how that's secured funding by the Constitution and has to be taken care of, but there's still that $300 million shortfall. So you mentioned the rainy day fund is kind of the backstop for that, but how do you make up for $300 million? What's the plan in place to keep education funded, and do you see cuts coming to education as well?
Well, I do. You know, one of the things that I asked for early on was voluntary cuts of 10%, and some of the school districts has really stepped up to try to do that. You know, our Constitution and the way it's been resolved with the famous Campbell and Washakie cases is that the state, it is a state obligation to fund education. But it comes down to the local districts to really think about how to apply those dollars. I think there are a lot of things out there that are being talked about. Do we need to have, you know, as many districts as we have, 40 some odd districts, or can we do something a little bit different? There are a number of those kinds of proposals that are out there, but most of those sort of touch the margins. My concern has been, and it continues to be, as I look at the statutes, we are, and I used this reference yesterday, if you remember Indiana Jones and the Lost Crusade, you know, Harrison Ford and the German are heading towards a cliff and their tank is rolling along and there's no way to stop it. And that's a little bit the way our education funding feels right now. There's no way to control it until we've dropped off that cliff. When there is no longer enough money in the rainy day fund, that is when the superintendent can do a proration of the remaining funds. So I'm asking the legislature to take that seriously this year, to look at those mechanisms and to say, is there not some way that we can regulate the expenditures? And it's going to be tough. It's hard on our teachers. I will be the first to say that I think Wyoming's future really depends on our education system. We need young families here in Wyoming. Those are the families that are going to be sticky, and those are the families that are going to participate in our economy. And we are the best state to raise your kids. So this does not come easily, but I still think we've got to face reality before our money is completely gone.
Again, we're speaking with Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon. And one final question on the budget and finances, and we'll move on, Governor. But when we talk about generating revenue now and the diversifying the economy, and I think everybody agrees, it's just not realistic to say we're just going to come up with a new revenue source that's going to replace natural resources for Wyoming. It's just especially quickly. And you had the land purchase option for southern Wyoming that didn't happen. So what is the options right now for increasing revenue, generating revenue? Where do things stand right now, other than just making cuts? Are there options ahead of Wyoming for revenue increases?
Well, and Duke, thank you for that. The one recommendation that I have made to the legislature is that they look carefully at all the exemptions we grant. A lot of those exemptions were given in times when we had more reliable funding sources, and we had some real opportunity and some funds that were behind that. I think the legislature is the only one that can put those on or take them off. They need to look at those seriously. I think that's where we need to be. We continue to work extraordinarily hard on making sure that our minerals have a future. I've worked, just 2 weeks ago was back in Washington talking about carbon capture and sequestration. I keep talking about how valuable the Naughton plant in Kemmerer would be to that effort. It's a way for us to be able to manage our forests. We saw in the Mullen fire that leaving trees to die, they turn into a carbon source for the, in a big way, awfully quickly. And if we can just manage those forests and be able to incorporate that in a plant like Naughton with carbon capture and sequestration, that solves everybody's problems, keeps people working, and does a good job for Wyoming. So I think we're continuing to work on those aspects. I'm happy that we brought in a new company into Evanston. The Business Council continues to work on those efforts. I know your valley has made a pretty remarkable step forward in bringing medical care that people want to get elective surgeries. So I think there are a number of horizons here where we can diversify our economy. I just, from my standpoint, Wyoming and government are not the place to build new businesses. What we should do is create the right environment so that new businesses can establish themselves and thrive.
Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon joining us live this morning on the Weekday Wake Up. Governor, I know we just have a couple minutes left, so let's spend this time talking about COVID-19. And from the health department's website, it looks like roughly 2,800 active cases right now across the state. And as we follow the progression of this, you know, it was back in March, we had one case in the state of Wyoming, and that's when everything started to shut down. And now sitting at 2,800 cases, what's different now than in March, when there were one case in the whole state and schools pretty much were done at that point, to 2,800 cases now, and things are kind of just churning along as they are?
Well, Duke, it is concerning. Wyoming did so well this summer. We had tremendous amounts of tourists that were coming through. We never saw the rise. I worked carefully with the White House. Mark Meadows was very supportive of making sure that Wyoming got supplies it needed. We really felt pretty smug about how Wyoming was performing. We were one of three states to have our state fair. We were always, we never shut down completely, never did a stay-at-home order. It's our belief has been that that people must take responsibility for their actions. But I think after a while, people are getting tired. And because we had the great results we did, I think people started saying, you know, this is a big deal. It's just a like a cold, which it isn't. And now we have, Idaho reportedly, college kids are saying, let's go get it. We can sell our plasma. It's getting to be just outrageously strange. And people aren't taking the care that they need to. Just good common sense. I mean, you hear this over and over and over again. Washing your hands, making sure you don't get too close, being, careful about your social gatherings. If it's a small group, we're seeing a lot of transmission there. But bars are, and I heard this from Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, and from Doug Ducey, governor of Arizona. Bars are where this all blew up. And so if we're thoughtful about how we end up, we don't want people not going to bars, but they just don't have to be, as close as they were. And we can beat this thing. We really can. The one bright spot in all of this, the one bright spot in this is that our schools are still open. We have the least spread happening in our schools. And that's important for our economy because, anybody who's tried to school their kids at home, I was a single dad for a number of years and I don't know how I could have gone to work if I didn't have schools. So we need our schools to stay open. We need to people to understand that the measures that putting in place that are under the recommendation of the health department, they're working. They're working and they're keeping our economy going.
Governor Mark Gordon, thanks so much for your time, Governor. We appreciate your comments today.
Thank you very much, Duke.
It's all part of the Weekday Wake Up this morning live on the SVI Radio Network.